You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome in, episode 136, What's Right with Nick Wright, the podcast and YouTube show. Like, rate, review, subscribe. If you're watching live right now, today's a very special show. As if you're a regular viewer or listener, you know, Demonze is out for the next little bit of time. He's currently in Los Angeles trying to find an apartment for his soon move to Los Angeles. So, I know many of you are wondering, who would be sitting in Demonze's seat? We have done the show solo once before. We had Lil Wayne on the show once before. We had my youngest daughter host once. And one time ever, my wife, the owner of the location where we now do the show, Trintage, the women's boutique here in Harlem, Danielle Bird, as the city calls her, hosted the show. And after much prodding and pleading, Danielle has agreed to host once again and the next few shows. I don't know if you know this, but you are hosting today, Thursday, and next Thursday.
No, I did not know that.
A little three show, a series for you.
Okay.
How are you feeling? You were a star last time. Everyone loved it.
Oh, thank you. I'm feeling okay.
Yeah.
Didn't expect to be here today. Otherwise, I would have got my lashes done.
I don't think the audience is going to notice nor care. You look wonderful.
Thank you.
I've got to say, I was, and I'm not going to talk too much family business on the show. We'll get right to the sports. But about 5-6 days ago, when I knew the plan was for you to host, I was a little worried about how that would go.
I wish you would have told me 6 days ago.
6 days ago, Danielle wasn't the biggest fan of mine, but because I am such a wonderful husband and partner, we have since turned things around. We're doing great. Can I get a little high five and get the show going?
Let's chill out.
Okay, all right. Chill out. Here's what missed the cut for today's show. Adam Thielen says the Carolina Panthers can win the Super Bowl. No, they cannot. Michael Jordan may sell the Hornets. Honest question here for in the Jordan-LeBron debate, because I have had to hear people for years, when I talk Jordan versus LeBron, bring up, oh, well, and when you go off the court, look at shoe sales, look at iconography, look at how big of a cultural impact Michael Jordan has had. Is that not demonstrate that he's the greatest player ever? Okay, so if we're going to incorporate that as a small percentage of the GOAT debate, when LeBron ends up owning a team and is not an utter failure as an owner for 20 years, the way Michael Jordan has been, drafting Adam Morrison, drafting Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, number two, having the worst team in the league for 20 years, when LeBron's team is actually good, is that going to be a check mark in his column in the GOAT debate? These are questions
people.
Thank you very much. It should be. I agree, Danielle. I agree because I'm the one saying it. And, would LeBron be a better owner than MJ? I didn't even know that was on there. In my script, it says that the what missed the cut is good. Roger Goodell to be extended next week. The LeBron thing was there. Okay. So that's what's not on the show. Even though LeBron wasn't in the Jordan thing, we kind of touched on it. I have a feeling we are kind of starting with LeBron, even though he's out injured. Danielle, the floor is yours, my love.
Hmm. big shocker, we are starting with the Lakers.
Okay, yeah.
They're currently the 11th seed, but you still believe in them.
Yeah.
LeBron is still out. Mm-hmm. What's the best case, the worst case, or most likely to happen with the Lakers?
Okay. So, quick recap of the last few days for the Lakers. Friday night was as bad of a loss as you can have. They're playing the Mavs. The Mavs obviously don't have Luka. It is a wildly important game. Had they won that game, they would be very well positioned for the sixth seed. They have a four-point lead with 7 seconds left. I was watching this, actually, right next to you. You were dead to the world asleep, and I was watching it. It's just fists clenched because this was a critical game for the Lakers. They're up 4 with 8 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Davis fouls Maxi Kleber on a terrible play. Anthony Davis then misses a free throw. Anthony Davis then falls asleep on defense, and Maxi Kleber hits a 3, and the Lakers lose. Devastating loss. It puts them in real jeopardy of missing the play-in. I don't think they will, but in real jeopardy. So to answer that part of the question, the worst-case scenario is the Lakers go 5-5 the rest of the way, miss the play-in entirely, and LeBron comes back for nothing. That is on the board now. But what was so much more, pardon me, what was so much more frustrating than Friday was Anthony Davis responding to his critical errors in Friday's game, costing them the game by sleepwalking through Sunday's game. And they ended up winning it thanks to Austin Reeves. But it was not because Anthony Davis was like, all right, I'm going to make up for it. And that is the paradox is the wrong word, but that is the situation with Anthony Davis. When he's good, he's unbelievable. He has more 35 and 10 games this century than any other player, including Shaquille O'Neal and Giannis and Jokic and Embiid. He is defensively brilliant almost every night. I'll give him credit for that. But he is at times so passive on offense, you can't just pencil in that any night the Lakers can't lose while LeBron's out, because even against the Magic, he might no-show offensively. So their worst case is that they, because here's what they have over their final 10 games. Home for Phoenix, home for OKC in a game they absolutely should win, not because OKC's not good, but because that's Oklahoma City's third game in 4 nights. They play the Clippers on Tuesday, the Clippers on Thursday, and then the Lakers on Friday. So it's a back-to-back third game of 4 nights. Then home against Chicago, where Anthony Davis is from. Then at Chicago. Then at Minnesota. At Houston. That's a 6-game stretch that, other than the Phoenix game, they will be favored. They should be favored in all the games except for at Minnesota. And then the final 4 games of the year could be tough. At Utah. At the Clippers. Home for Phoenix. Home for Utah. So best case, worst case, most likely case. Best case is they go 5-1 in this 6-game stretch. LeBron then comes back for the final week of the season. Utah has packed it in, and they end up going, I think they would have to go probably 7-3 at a minimum, maybe 8-2 in their final 10. They get the 6th seed. They get Sacramento in round 1. We send your grandparents to one of those games. Kings, Lakers in the playoffs.
That would be so dope.
How unbelievable. Right. The Kings have the longest playoff drought in the NBA. And the Lakers do real damage in the postseason. The worst case scenario is they miss entirely. The most likely scenario is they end up the 8 or the 9 seed. But there is a massive difference between the 8 and the 9 seed because of the play-in. The way the play-in works, 7 through 10 are not in the playoffs. They have to do the play-in. 7 plays 8 in a 1-game set, and the winner gets the 7th seed. 9 plays 10, and the winner of 9-10 plays the loser of 7-8, and the winner of that gets the 8th seed. So why is there a huge difference between the 8 and the 9? Well, if you're the 9 seed, you have to win twice. You have to win the 9-10 game and the next game, and you're on the road for that second game. If you're the 8 seed, you only got to win once. You play the 7-8 game. If you win it, you're the 7th seed. If you lose it, you get another chance at home against the 9-10. So it's a huge difference. It's a rest difference, massive difference. So yes, last night in the NBA went very poorly for the Lakers, even though they didn't play. Why did it go poorly? Well, the Timberwolves, who they're chasing, were in New York against the Lakers as an 8-point dog. Damn, Julius Randle scores 57 for the Knicks, and the Knicks lose anyway. Timberwolves get a win. What else happened yesterday? The Warriors finally got a road win in Houston. Now, Houston's terrible, but the Warriors won. And the Jazz at home beat the Kings in a game the Kings were 6-point favorites. So two significant underdogs that the Lakers are fighting with for playoff positioning, the Jazz and the Timberwolves, who the Lakers have to catch and pass, both won games that were underdogs yesterday. Now, the good thing for the Lakers yesterday was the Mavericks did lose, and they're chasing the Mavericks. But the standings are right now insane. In the Western Conference, the Warriors are the 6th seed. The Pelicans are the 12th seed. Golden State, Dallas, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Utah, Lakers, Pelicans. That's 6 through 12. Every single one of those teams has 36 or 37 losses. So the difference between the 6th seed and the 12th seed right now is 2 games. So these final few weeks of the season are going to be insane. Anthony Davis has to play great over the next 3 weeks, and they got to get LeBron the next 2 weeks, and they got to get LeBron back. Does that all make sense to you? What do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. You just, all those explanations, you know, he overtalks. I think you lost me somewhere. I'm rooting for the Lakers. I'm hoping that they're going to.
They're going to get in. Yeah, if we get Lakers, Kings in round one, who are you rooting for?
The Kings. Sorry, Lakers.
Yeah. The Kings have been great.
Sacktown all day.
Yeah, so if the Lakers were to get to the 6th seed, or even if they were end up the 7th seed, they would be playing either the Kings in round one or Memphis in round one.
Wow.
If it were Memphis Lakers, who are you rooting
for? The Lakers. Oh,
okay. All right. I know you have some love for Memphis.
I have love for them.
The Lakers to be the 8th seed so they can get Denver in round one. But the problem with being the 8th seed is that means you're in the play-in and you lose a play-in game, or you're the 9th seed. It's just not, you don't want to be in a position where you could be the 8th seed, but that's actually the seed I want them to get. What? What's the confusion there?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. Next, Danielle.
The Warriors finally won on the road.
Yeah.
But you still don't believe in them.
Uh-uh.
Why has this year gone so terribly?
So I'm amazed that people are still trying to pretend that the Warriors can turn this around. There's 9 games left. They are a game over 500.
So the Lakers can turn it around, but the Warriors can't?
Yes. Because here's why. The Lakers have had very different iterations. So everybody brings up this exact question of, like, why would you believe in the Lakers and not the Warriors?
Correct.
It's very simple. The Lakers started the year 2-10 with a broken roster. Since that moment, they have been a good team. Since 2-10, they're 35-37. So that means they are 33-27. Since the opening 12 games. That's a 60-game sample of them being a good team. That's despite the fact that LeBron has obviously missed significant time over the last month. You add to it that the Lakers remade their team. Our guy Russ is a broken basketball player that was killing them and killing their spacing. It makes you sad, but it's true. Patrick Beverley is a useless basketball player, and he was their starting point guard. They have remade the roster. The Warriors are the same group. And after 20 games, they were 10-10. After 40 games, they were 20-20. After 60 games, they were 30-30. And prior to last night, after 72 games, they were 36-36. I give credit to them for finally breaking their 11-game road losing streak. But they still lead the league in road losses. They're 8-29 on the road. And the fact of the matter is this. The Warriors tried to thread the needle of continuing to contend for championships while developing their young players. And to their credit, they won the damn title last year. But They won that despite the fact that none of their young guys made significant impacts. Moses Moody has done nothing for them since he's been drafted. Kuminga's had a couple fine moments, but he has not leapt the way you would have hoped. And Wiseman, their number two pick of the draft from a few years ago, is not even on the team anymore. Those were their three young guys. They expected Jordan Poole to continue to improve. They paid him like he would. He has gone in the other direction. And Draymond is more interested in podcasting than playing good basketball. And he punched Jordan Poole in the face. So for all those reasons, this team's broken. What? What are you saying?
I don't have nothing to do with him turning things around, him punching this guy in the face.
You don't think that right before the start of the season, the emotional leader of the team, damn near breaking a teammate's jaw, doesn't have an impact on that team being cohesive?
I think teammates fight.
Not like that.
I know, but I'm sure, you know, I'm hoping, you know, they...
But we now have a blog. We now have a lot of evidence that you're hoping wrong, that they haven't gotten together.
I'm sorry. I'm rooting for everybody on the West Coast. I'm hoping they're going to get better.
All right. Do you think that it would, let's say it wasn't the Warriors, with the championship pedigree, and it was any other team that had super high expectations going into a year, mm-hmm. and right before the start of the year, their veteran leader who wants a new contract but didn't get one punches in the jaw, and then it gets released on video for us all to see him punching the young kid who did get the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then that team, whenever they have to travel, when you need an emotional lift because you're on the road, and where teams that are really together, they go out to dinner together, they hang out in each other's hotel rooms, play video games, do whatever it is. This team seems to be a disaster on the road. Wouldn't we say, it might be that the team doesn't get along great because you have this crew of older guys, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, these younger guys, and it's hard for them to coalesce because one of the guys punched the other guy.
I guess.
Yeah, it's a great point I just made.
It's
just
a great point.
It's a good point.
I don't like it. I don't want to agree with you.
You don't want to agree with me, but that's what's happened. So I think the Warriors are drawing dead to win the title. And right now, in my opinion, they're the worst team in California. The Clippers are better. The Kings are better. I think the Lakers are better. And the Warriors are fourth out of four in California. So no, they're not turning it around. And they had an opportunity at the deadline to admit that this was a missed opportunity and try to package those young players into getting an impact piece. They didn't. Now this offseason, they're going to have some real decisions because Draymond wants a new contract. I don't know how you give it to him. Clay, would they ever trade Clay? You probably can't knife Clay like that, but it might be your only chance. Steph is playing so well. Steph just turned 35. He's still one of the five best players in the league. He's unbelievable.
He's so good.
He's unbelievable. You're trying to twist the knife.
You always hated on the Warriors, even when they were doing good.
Well, that's a fact. They irritated me.
Uh-huh.
And LeBron beat them in 16, and we were supposed to get this longstanding rivalry of Warriors versus LeBron. And then they had to go get Kevin Durant and kind of break the NBA. I wasn't a big fan of that. We were supposed to get Steph versus LeBron, but then Steph had to go recruit Kevin Durant and probably cost LeBron a couple titles. I don't like that. Yeah. But the Warriors got big decisions this offseason. And the other thing is Andrew Wiggins, who has been key to them, has been gone now weeks with an undisclosed personal matter. And yes, he's wildly important for them, but it doesn't, from listening to what Steph has said and Steve Kerr said, they seem to think he might not be coming back this year. All right, next.
Okay, you call the Mavs Suns the NBA's worst rivalry.
Best rivalry.
I think that it's the Grizzly Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
What's the better playoff matchup?
So, Mavs Suns. That's a really good question, Danielle. So, Mavs Suns, we get. Oh man, somehow we could get both of these. So Mavs Suns, the background is they played in round two last year. The Suns were up 3-2. Devin Booker was talking that trash. And then Luka eviscerated them. And the game seven in Phoenix, the halftime score was 57-27. Luka had more points at halftime than the Suns team did. And Luka had 30 in the, sorry, and the Suns had 27. Devin Booker and Luka are a real rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
You then also have the Mavs now have Kyrie and the Suns now have KD. So that's not like a rivalry, but that's an interesting one.
Right.
And it was also interesting when they played earlier this year before Durant got hurt again. KD and Kyrie didn't exactly seem super close.
No, they didn't.
They, and for guys that, you know, claimed they're super close friends, doesn't really seem like that. I think KD maybe got wise on Kyrie's nonsense and got sick of it.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you, what, you don't think that's what it was?
Oh, I was just asking.
You like Kyrie.
I do like Kyrie.
You like Kyrie. You, that is, Danielle's always liked Kyrie. Danielle also doesn't have as big of a problem with some of Kyrie's eccentricity.
Hey, oh, that's the, yeah, you're right. Because you just, I don't know, you just get too involved. I don't, you know, I think he's a great player, so I don't really involve the personal.
Player.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a good player. I don't know if a great player. He's not that available. He's not great defensively. I don't care about that. But like, you didn't like when I mocked him for saging the Celtics arena.
No, I didn't.
You thought that was a cool thing that he did.
Yeah.
Walking around a basketball arena with lit sage. What's it called when you, the, was he dabbing the, what was it? The,
you're talking about he was saging the
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong?
You liked that.
Yeah.
I thought that was lunacy.
Yeah. I do it. I do it sometimes.
You not, yeah. You do it in our house. You don't do
well,
it.
He's got, like, I'm playing there. Let me get this.
You don't
together.
Show up at someone else's job and start saging the area.
Oh, that's bad juju. You got
to
fix it.
That's what he was trying to do. So that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's supposed to fix the.
Yeah. You know.
The juju of the
yeah,
area.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So Mavs Suns, to get back on topic, would be great. Grizzlies Warriors, though, is a legit awesome rivalry that the Warriors refuse to acknowledge as a rivalry.
Because they don't want it.
You well, Draymond also said, you know, we've won championships. They've won nothing. Yeah, how's that a rivalry? Well, here's the facts. Last year, you guys played in the playoffs. The first three games, it was 2-1 Warriors, and one of the Warriors wins. Ja missed a layup at the end. So one of the games, total coin flip game, you split the other two as close as could be. And then Ja got hurt. And the Warriors ended up winning in six. The previous year, they played in the play-in. Everyone forgets this. The Warriors 2 years ago were in the play-in. They were in the 7-8 game playing the Lakers. And LeBron dotted Steph's eye with a three to win that game. When LeBron, remember, famously, he couldn't see out of one eye. He shot it with one eye closed. Unbelievable play right in Steph's face. And then the next game, the Warriors played the Grizzlies. Everyone said the Warriors are going to win. And the Grizzlies sent them home. So I know that's not a series, but 2 years ago, the Grizzlies ended the Warriors season. Last year, the Warriors ended the Grizzlies season. This year, they have played and they hate each other. That's a rivalry. And let me ask you this. What do you think of the fact that anytime somebody talks trash to Klay Thompson, he's now done it at least twice, maybe three times,
mm-hmm.
he counts to four on his fingers to say, I have four rings, you have zero. Is that a cool taunt, a corny taunt, or neither? He's done it multiple times.
I mean, I guess that's his way of not saying anything. It's just like, I don't really have to say anything. I have four rings. You guys have nada.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly what
exactly,
he's doing.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not even worth
but
saying
But can
anything.
You keep doing that?
Yeah.
You keep
can.
Doing that.
You can. You know, I always be like, I'm right, you're wrong. I say it every single time.
It's yeah, but
like I say it, you know, like I don't have anything else to say. I'm right, you're wrong.
Okay, so I don't actually have an answer for what's the more intriguing rivalry. Because I think they are both great. What I do know is this. We have no chance of getting Suns-Mavs in round one because of the way the standings are. The Suns, well, yeah, we have no chance of getting Suns-Mavs in round one because the Suns are going to be the 4 or the 5 seed. Dallas is going, could Dallas get to the 5 line? Maybe, but not realistically. It's a very low chance of getting Suns-Mavs in round one. Golden State-Memphis, we absolutely could get in round one. And so because of that, that's the one I think we're more likely to see. Here is my dream playoff bracket.
Let's go for the dreams. Let's go.
Okay. 1 versus 8. Denver versus Dallas. And Luka gets to make a mockery of Jokic as far as the, I think the Mavs would have the best play. I shouldn't say make a mockery of Jokic. That's unfair to Jokic. Yeah. He's a very, very good player. But Luka would be the best player on the floor. And I Dallas could win that series. 2 versus 7 that I would like to see would be Sacramento against the Lakers. 3 versus 6 would be Golden State against Memphis. And 4 versus 5, Phoenix against the Clippers. And by the way, Phoenix has all this talent, and on paper they should win the West. But if their first round series is against the Clippers, that's who Russ plays for now, by the way, with Paul George and Kawhi guarding Durant, Durant coming off injury, a little rusty, that could be a real, real problem for the Phoenix Suns. All right, last topic of the A block is we are already over time. You're talking too much here.
What am I supposed to do? Tell me.
No, you're not. I'm just messing with you.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. What's our last topic?
Aaron Rodgers still hasn't been traded, but the Jets are already signing his friends.
Yeah.
What do you think the Jets ultimately trade for him?
Okay. So they obviously, the Packers want a first round pick. The Jets are going to hold the line as long as they can. And what I could, the way I think this is going to play out, is not that dissimilar to the Favre trade, but there's been another trade like this. I forget which one it was. I'll look it up later. But I think this year the Jets will trade a second round pick for Rodgers. I think they in this year's draft. I think they will also trade a third round pick in next year's draft. That will turn into, they will put these stipulations on it. This is how I see it going. And mark this and save this to put out on social if I end up being right. Yeah, you can put it out on social now if you want, but certainly save it
later
in case I end up being right. I think the trade's going to be this. Second round pick this year and a third round pick next year. That third round pick turns into a second round pick if the Jets make the playoffs, and it turns into a first round pick if the Jets make the Super Bowl. So you are trading a second and a third for Rodgers. That if the Jets make the playoffs this year is 2 seconds. And if the Jets make the Super Bowl this year, it's a second and a first. That to me is a win-win scenario where the Packers get, you're not going to get a first round pick, I don't think. But if Rodgers ends up being awesome, you will get your first round pick. And this year you get a second round pick. That's what I think. You have a follow-up question?
Uh-huh. What will Mahomes' trade value be?
So there is no trade that the Chiefs would accept for Mahomes. There is not one. I used to say about Rodgers, back when I was on the radio in Kansas City and the Chiefs had no quarterback. There was one year the Chiefs had the number one pick of the draft. They drafted Eric Fisher. He's a good player, but he's fine. They won a Super Bowl. He's tackled for them for a decade. I said that the Chiefs should call the Packers for Aaron Rodgers, oddly enough, because he was the most talented quarterback in the league, and offer them the number one overall pick plus, and I don't even know if the NFL allows this, you get our first round pick every year Rodgers is on the roster. So for as long as we have the player, you get our first round pick. Mm-hmm. If someone called the Chiefs and said, so say Carolina, who has the number one pick, we will trade you the number one pick and our first round pick in perpetuity as long as we have Patrick Mahomes, I think the Chiefs hang up on. I don't think you could construct a trade where the Chiefs accept it for Mahomes. I think that if the Bengals called and said, we'll give you Burrow and Chase, the Chiefs hang up on him. I think he has ascended to a spot where there is no trade that could work out that would ever have to where the Chiefs would ever get fair value for him. I don't think you can get fair value for the most talented player who's ever played.
Gotcha.
So I don't think there's a trade for it, but I do like my old idea of first round pick in perpetuity. And it ends up being Mahomes was traded for, let's take Mahomes out of it. Joe Burrow was traded for 13 first round picks because the team that traded for him kept him every single year. And for the team, for the Bengals, it's like we have two first round picks every year. But that's a fake trade I just made up. Danielle, did a great job in this first segment.
Thank
you.
You
didn't roast me too much?
Nope, I'm chilling.
You were worried about rivalry and you crushed that. You crushed
it. You almost made me say it.
You crushed that. That's a tough word to pronounce.
Yeah, I struggle with my R's.
Me too.
Yeah.
I went to speech therapy for that.
I guess I should have went too.
No, you do a great, but R's with L's is a tough one. Rivalry is a tough one.
Rivalry.
And you crushed it. All right, take a quick break. Come back. By the way, for our live YouTube viewers, a special announcement. Sorry if you guys have been, because in the chat, you guys can ask questions. Today, instead of asking questions to me that Danielle's going to read for our live YouTube chat, you guys are going to ask questions for Danielle that I'm going to read. Yeah, exactly. You nailed it.
I nailed it.
So that's coming up in the C block. We play a game. We play a bracket game. That's nothing to do with college basketball. That's next. What's right? With Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals, you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up. Delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/NickWright50 and use code NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NickWright50 at factormeals.com/NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor. Welcome in. What's Right with Nick Wright? You're supposed to get a countdown and everything. Don't worry about that. Episode 136. Danielle's here. That's my wife. You know, Dampo.
What?
3.5 weeks from now. You know what's happening?
It's our 10-year
wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
Together almost 15.
15 years.
Married
with Nick Wright.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's great.
The sarcasm is unnecessary.
You know I love you.
I love you too.
I love you so much.
By the way, she is going to, you guys in the chat right now on YouTube, if you're listening to this on on the podcast, not live, you're going to miss out on this opportunity, but you'll still be able to hear it. Instead of doing questions for me, we're going to do questions for Danielle. So we will do that. Danielle's going to host today and this coming Thursday, most likely next Thursday as well. Oh, gosh, I should have told our people at Blue Duck Media. I forgot to tell them. No podcast this coming Tuesday. Where television's off the air Monday and Tuesday, and I'm out of town. So everybody gets their day off this coming Tuesday. We're all out of town. So I should have been more professional and told Gabe and Matt and Victor and Kara and all the people that put this podcast together, Daniel. But you guys have Tuesday off from this show, and I'm not doing the show. But we're going to be here Thursday and the following Thursday. And then after that, the only member of the family who's never hosted the show. Look at these guys. Day off. The only member of the family who's never hosted the show. Diora may be the most talented member of the family, aside from me, of course. She's going to take that seat for a few weeks, part of a school project she's doing. She's so excited about it, too.
She is?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Okay, all right, Danielle, let's get to the topics. What are we doing?
You suggested Lamar's best landing spot is San Francisco. Yeah. Why?
All right, so I went on TV yesterday and gave his top five places that Lamar could go. Mm-hmm. So I'll do them here quickly. The number five I had is Indy. Now, I don't really want to see him in Indy, but Indy is the number four pick of the draft, and because Carolina jumped up to one, they're going to be – Carolina's going to take quarterback. Houston's going to take quarterback. So Indy is going to be sitting there with the third best quarterback, or they can just sign Lamar, or at least attempt to sign Lamar. I don't think he's going to go there, but it makes – I shouldn't say that. It's not my preferred destination. I would like to see Lamar go to the NFC where he can be the best quarterback. What are you laughing about? Tell the audience, what are you laughing about?
Look,
I have a reflux problem, and I've had
You should be drinking water instead of that coffee.
Okay, well, set that aside. Let's just keep moving. Here's the thing with Indy. If Indy wants to do it, they should definitely wait until after the draft to try to sign him, because then instead of giving up the fourth pick and next year's pick, they give up next year's pick and the year after. And if you have Lamar, you're not going to have the fourth pick. You're going to have maybe the 24th pick. Number four, I said, was Atlanta. Atlanta seems to be out on it by what they've said and what they've done. It makes no sense. You have a legacy of black quarterbacks there, thanks to Vic. You also have, it's on turf. It's in a winnable division. All those reasons, I really like Atlanta. Then there was the top three. Number three is New England. And I think New England makes an absolute ton of sense. I don't totally understand why this wouldn't be the desired spot if you're the if Belichick wants to be relevant at the end of his career, trade Mac Jones for a third round pick, try to reboot around Lamar, and then the two NFC teams that to me make the most sense. Number two is Detroit. They could trade Goff and get a second rounder for him, probably. Lamar on turf with Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then number one was San Francisco. Now, San Francisco would have to wait until after the draft because they don't have a first round pick this year. And they would be mortgaging even more draft picks. They'd be in cap hell, but they'd win the Super Bowl. San Francisco has been a top five team in the NFL over the last 5 years with below average quarterback play. They drafted Trey Lance because they wanted a mobile quarterback who could run the ball. Lamar's the best version of that. So San Francisco, as much as I believe in the Chiefs, San Francisco would be a favorite over the Chiefs if they went and got Lamar Jackson.
A threat.
And more than a threat. The defense is a top three defense in football. They have top five weapons in football. If you added Lamar, it'd be unbelievable. So that's why. All right, speaking of the Chiefs, go ahead. What'd you say?
I would like that.
It'd be great. And the NFC needs good quarterbacks. But go ahead. To the Chiefs.
Okay. The Chiefs have been very quiet during the free agency.
Yeah.
Are they going to do anything?
So there's a little Ian Rappaport note that the DeAndre Hopkins trade market is heating up. So here's the deal. And you remember DeAndre Hopkins from when you were in Houston. He's unbelievable. He's expensive and older, but he's unbelievable. The Chiefs' big question last year was their wide receiver core. They obviously won the Super Bowl despite it, but it was a question. Their top two wide receivers from that receiving core are gone now. Juju signed with the Patriots, and Mecole Hardman is a free agent, but it doesn't look like the Chiefs are bringing him back. That was receiver one and receiver two for the Chiefs last year. Now, they did add Kadarius Toney, but I believe the Chiefs are either going to sign Odell Beckham Jr. or trade for DeAndre Hopkins and then address tackle and defensive line in the draft. Speaking of the draft, so this weekend I was basically with our youngest all weekend in the house. We were watching movies and stuff. And I don't know if you noticed, but and you have a little stray hair flying away there up top, which I know you'd be mad if I don't tell you.
Thank you.
No problem. I got you.
You got me.
I was sitting at my computer a lot while Deanna and I were watching the Jurassic Park trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing mock drafts. So mock drafts are fake NFL drafts. Yeah. Seven-round mock drafts on Pro Football Focus. I did 14 of them. Can we show? I want to show the audience my four favorites.
You're such a dork.
I know. But these, so you can trade picks, you can negotiate things. So let's go ahead and throw up mock draft number one on the screen. This is what we call Jalen Carter slides. So in this draft, Jalen Carter, who some people thought was the number one player in the draft, leave this up on the screen for a moment. He's had some issues, Danielle. Jalen Carter was number one player in the draft. Then it came out he and a teammate and a trainer for the team potentially were drag racing. The other car got in a wreck. People died.
Wow.
He allegedly maybe drove off, didn't stay. That didn't help him. Then he had his pro day and he was overweight. So a guy who people thought could go number one overall, now people are saying sliding. In this mock draft, and I have no control over who the other teams pick, he slid all the way outside of the top 10. So we in Kansas City, we made some moves. We traded the 31st pick and next year's number one for the 11th pick with Tennessee and their third and fourth rounder next year, jumped up and got Jalen Carter, addressed the receiver issue with Nathaniel Dell in the second round and kept it moving. And if you're watching on YouTube, we did a full seven rounder. But the odds of Jalen Carter actually sliding quite low. So now let's go to mock draft number two, which is the Quentin Johnson mock draft. So in this one, we also trade up Quentin Johnson, the number one receiver, the beast out of TCU. He slides a bit at number 15. There's too much value there for us not to jump on it. We call up Green Bay. We offer Green Bay the 31st pick, our first rounder next year, a seventh rounder this year, and a fourth rounder next year for the number 15 pick, their second and third next year. The logic behind that is they're entering the Chiefs number one and Green Bay's number two. Not that big of a difference. I don't actually think in real life Green Bay would accept this trade, but Pro Football Focus's algorithm said they would. Chiefs draft Quentin Johnson, address Garrett Williams in round two, and I don't know if you then we do some other trades, but don't worry about those. Now we're trading mid-round picks for future years of a fake draft that I'm not actually participating in, but I did
so
it.
You were doing this and watching Jurassic Park at the same time?
I was. All right, mock draft number three. This one is more standard. We're not making major trades. DeJuan Jones, tackle out of Ohio State, is there at 31. The Chiefs address their tackle issue. Draft a corner in round three, but what about round two? Oh, do you see that on your screen? Oh, yeah, you do see that on your screen. DeAndre Hopkins, 4, and the 96th pick of the draft, 4, the 63rd pick, the 135th pick, and the 216th pick. So the Chiefs address tackle and trade for DeAndre Hopkins. And then mock draft number 4, if you want to see it, it's up on the screen right now. This is no trades. We're just going straight forward. Anton Harrison slides, the tackle out of Oklahoma. Draft him. Then Zay Flowers is available. You're yawning. You're doing Deanna. This is boring to you? My mock drafts? My fake drafts?
It's not even real.
Well, yeah, but the real draft's going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I have a confession to make.
What?
I texted the Chiefs GM about this.
You did?
Yeah.
He didn't even respond, did he?
He didn't.
I know he did. Oh, doofus.
I did. I text him.
He's probably like, Nick Wright's such a dork. I'm not responding to this.
I've been grinding my drafts all weekend if you need any pointers. I did.
Doofus Katrufus.
I did. I texted him. And he left me on red. That's the first time he's ever left me on red. That's my buddy.
Oh, gosh.
Brett Beach. Somebody send these to Brett. These are good drafts. These are good drafts.
You might want to send him a follow-up.
No, I'm leaving it alone. But you know what? See, you laugh at me.
All the time.
You say I'm just a dork and why do I do this? So I did that Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, and we can't go into deep details on this, but did I not get a phone call with someone inquiring if I wanted to be a part of a professional sports team's front office?
Correct.
That did happen. Yeah.
You did. Yeah, I'm sure he didn't see this.
Well, it's also basketball and not football. But still, this is you keep the mind moving.
You have an awesome brain.
Oh, thank you.
I won't take that away from you.
Okay, all right, let's go on to our game. The game here is mini bracket. Explain it to me, Dampo.
Bracket to Unpack It?
Yeah, that's the name of the game. Bracket to Unpack It. There you go. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, 18 bracket, and you fill it out. We are going to do NBA duos.
Okay, so let me give the context of this. I don't really do a March Madness bracket, and the producers made fun of me because they're like, oh, Nick is, you know, can't give his March Madness picks, but can do a 7-round NFL mock draft. I think it's important to stay focused on things you actually know about, not pretend you know all about stuff you don't know about.
Oh, really? I don't...
Yeah. What? Go ahead.
You pretend that you know certain music and you don't. You pretend on a lot of things.
Hold on a second. Let's just talk about this real quick.
Yeah.
Danielle thinks that if I don't know all the words to a song, I'm not allowed to sing along.
You're not.
To it.
You can't sing along to something that you don't know the words to.
But what about
it makes you look stupid. It's like singing like, like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you don't know the words. Just don't.
But
say
I
anything.
Know some of the words.
If you know some of the words, then say that one word and then move on.
Danielle's favorite group, New Edition, was at the
my
Prudential
favorite childhood group.
Was yes. Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Was at the Prudential Center in Jersey this week.
It was so good. Dang, great concert.
So she's been talking about this concert for so long. And if you don't know New Edition, it's like love music.
Yeah.
It's R&B.
And Key Sweat and Guy, all R&B.
All R&B. And so she'd been talking about this concert, and I assumed we were going together to this concert because it's intimate, sweet music you want to share with a loved one. Danielle tells me... On Saturday, she says, have you gotten the New Edition tickets yet? I'm like, no, I was waiting. There's a lot available. I was seeing if, you know, if some better ones come available, we'll be able to get them. She's like, all right, I need 3 tickets. And I said, who's going with us? And she looked at me and said, you're going? I said, what do you mean, am I going? She's like, you don't like New Edition. I was like, they're fine. I don't love them, but I'm fine. She's like, you don't even know the songs. It won't be fun. I'm going with my friends.
It's not fun going to a concert with somebody and they don't even know the artist. Like, it doesn't, like, you got to jam with the person you with. And I can't jam with you if I'm there. You know what I'm saying?
But you didn't even jam with Ashley.
Yes, I did. Ashley and Gary was on point.
You went up to the front without them.
You know, that was just for a little bit. They didn't want to move where I was. I mean, I'm a bigger fan than them. That would have been the same with you. At least when I came back to them, they were still jamming and singing the songs with me. You just be, I'm a baby.
Okay. All right.
Okay, let's go back to this.
All right, so
let's go back to
this.
Bracket.
So
to
we're doing a bracket of NBA duos. The producers have seeded these. They have not shown me the seedings. So it's 8 NBA duos. Tell me them 1 through 8, Danielle.
Embiid and Harden, 1.
Yeah.
2, Durant and Booker.
Mm-hmm.
3, Tatum and Brown. 4, Giannis and Drew.
Yeah.
5, Kawhi and PJ.
PG.
PG, my bad. 6, Steph and Clay. 7, Luka and Kyrie. 8, LeBron and AD.
Having LeBron and AD as the 8 seed in this is an outrage.
I think it sounds about right.
No, it does not sound right. Put the graphic, but that means LeBron and AD are facing Embiid and Harden in round 1. Those might be my top 2 seeds, and one of them is going to have to go home. So, to me, Embiid's better than Anthony Davis, but when Anthony Davis is at his best, it's close. LeBron and Harden's not close. Harden's not going to be able to guard LeBron at all in this 2-on-2 game. LeBron and AD advance. LeBron and AD advance over Embiid and Harden. What'd you say?
I love Harden, though.
I picked the Sixers.
And Embiid was awesome.
He's been awesome. And we like the Sixers because of Harper and Daryl. And they're my pick to win the East. But this is a 2-on-2 game. We're going LeBron and AD. Giannis and Drew versus Kawhi and Paul George is a very easy one. Neither Kawhi nor Paul George have any hope of stopping Giannis getting to the rim. Giannis and Drew move on. Let's go to the other side of the bracket if we can. The other side of the bracket. There we go. KD and Booker versus Luka and Kyrie. I got to go KD and Booker. There's just not enough defense. The problem is Luka will put up some resistance. Kyrie is just going to get shot over by either of these guys single time. Then Tatum and Brown against Steph and Clay. That's a really tough one. I'm going to go Steph and Clay.
Yeah.
Steph's ball handling and the shooting there is enough to overcome the physical imposing nature of Tatum and Brown. So we have, talk about a lot of upsets. We have a 2, a 4, a 6, and an 8. Left side of the bracket, LeBron and AD against Giannis and Drew. I'm going Giannis and Drew. Giannis is too good.
Really?
Giannis is too good. Giannis is just unstoppable. And Drew is such a good defender. He could give LeBron some trouble as far as dribbling and ball handling. Mm-hmm. Drew can knock down shots just well enough. Giannis and Drew. Right side of the bracket. KD and Booker against Steph and Clay. You've got to go KD and Booker because of the shot. They are close to Steph and Clay in shot making. And the size advantage is so substantial. So now we end up with KD and Booker against Giannis and Drew. And I'm going Giannis and Drew. Giannis is so clearly right now the best player in the league. And Drew is one of the most underrated players in the last 15 years in the NBA. Giannis and Drew, that's my best NBA duo right now.
I like NBA talk.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoy it.
That's why this is a good time for you to be on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
That you don't love, you really, Danielle actively dislikes football because of the time it takes from me.
Man.
And she likes the Chiefs, but doesn't watch the games with me and gets frustrated with it. But you love the NBA. All right, you know what I like to talk about?
What do you like to talk about?
You, Dampo. We answer, take a quick 60-second break, come back, and answer questions that you guys have for Danielle next. What's right?
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, welcome back in. What's Right with Nick Wright? I'm told, before we get to the questions for Danielle, the producers found Demonze in Los Angeles. Are we doing that now? Oh, look. Oh, there's... That's pretty good. It's a good Photoshop. I think Demonze would love surfing. I've never thought of that. He should learn that when he's out there. What?
Come on.
What?
Can we get him settled before we tell him just to start trying something new?
Okay. Surfing, he's a great athlete. I think he'd love it. Okay. I think he'd get along with surfers.
He's been breaking things a lot lately.
It's hard to break things in the ocean.
You can break something in the ocean, Nick.
It's hard to break things in the
ocean. You almost broke your back when we was in freaking Rio. That wave.
Was bad, man. That was bad. I've had a lot of injuries in the ocean. Danielle and I were on a trip once. We were in Jamaica. And we were in Kingston, actually. Not one of the big touristy spots. We were in Kingston. And we rented a car and drove to a place right on the coast, right by a place called Lime Key. And they were we stayed there for one night. We got there, rented the hotel. We were the only people at the hotel, only people at the restaurant. They were like, in the morning, you should go out to Lime Key. Like, how do we get there? Like, well, you rent a boat. They drop you. And the guy was like, but don't pay them until they pick you up. Like, huh? They're like, well, if you pay them before they come back and get you, they might leave
not pick you
there.
Up.
And we decided to go anyway. And we went. It was unbelievable. Still to this day, I think the most beautiful place I've ever been. Because we were on this island all by ourselves.
We walked around, had an umbrella.
Yeah, it was so hot.
So hot.
Walked around the whole perimeter of it. And then we got to this area where I went out in the water. And Danielle was like, come back in. I'm like, no, I'm going to walk around to the other side. And you were like, there's going to be reef and you're going to get hurt. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. And I started walking. And about halfway through, where I was in no man's land, couldn't go back and had to keep going. It was nothing but reef everywhere. And I kept getting knocked over by the waves. And Daniel's standing on the beach, just like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?"
"Yeah,
I'm fine." And I got out of the water, and my legs were just cut up for days.
Yeah, I remember we got a whole rash from it.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I also in Aruba cut my foot open on that water bouncy house thing and had to. Man, I sliced my foot clean across, deep gash. See the muscle type of gash. I didn't even realize it at first. Then my daughter saw it and I was bleeding everywhere. So I'm like, "Oh, I'll be okay." And I swim back to shore, go to the lady who sold us the tickets to the bouncy house things in the water. She freaks out, calls an ambulance. I'm like, "I don't need an ambulance. I can drive myself to the hospital." I tell my wife and daughters, "Guys, I have to go to the hospital." What did you guys do?
"Okay, let us know when you get there."
They stayed on the bouncy houses.
It was our first day there, and you were doing way too much. It was like Nick was jumping. He was just thinking that he was a little kid. You were doing too much, so that was your fault. It was your fault.
And I had to drive myself to the hospital
in
Aruba,
mm-hmm.
get stitched up by a medical student.
Yeah, it was your foot. It wasn't your ribs or anything.
Okay. All right, questions for Danielle. Rex Smith, everyone only has one question. How does she live with Nick? LOL. You want to answer that?
How do I live with Nick?
Yeah.
I guess I just live with you. Just playing. I think we do great. We get along great. We watch the same things. We love to eat the same thing. I don't know. I've been together 15 years.
I think he's talking about something you said to me the other day.
Like what?
You said that Danielle said to me, she said, "You don't even want to argue. You just want to debate."
Oh, yeah. Now that's different. Like, how do I argue with you? I'm not arguing with you. It's just like Nick can know that I'm right, but still want to go back and forth to I don't know, say that I'm right in a different way. It's freaking crazy. It's insane. So I just go to a point where I'm like, I'm not about to argue with you.
The times you're not right?
I'm usually right.
Jamie Fisher says, "How did you and Nick meet? Seem very different, but I guess opposites attract."
Yeah. I was a club promoter in Kansas City at this place called The Hangout. On Thursday nights, it was my night, Bird Entertainment. And Nick came to my event faithfully every Thursday and would talk to me about putting a little
I tried to get
a spot on his radio show. Yeah. And, you know, he was friends more with my sister than me. And I don't want to get into too much detail.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't. I don't want to, you know, embarrass you.
Oh, I pursued her for quite some time. She always liked me.
I always liked you, or you always liked me?
Both. It was clearly mutual attraction.
I didn't know that I liked him.
She didn't know that she liked me until she knew that she liked me.
Yeah, on the first date with Nick, I fell in love with him on the first date.
Oh, damn, Pooh. Thank you for saying that.
That is the truth.
That is true. She also brought her kids on the first date, who are now my kids, and that's how I found out.
Right.
Little 2-year-old Fiora and 9-year-old DeMonte.
I usually keep my business to myself. Mm-hmm. So.
That's all true. But Danielle also at the time wasn't really dating people.
No.
And she had never, can I say this?
Uh-huh.
She had never dated a white guy.
No.
And so.
Yeah, Nick Wright was my first white guy. It's a way to start.
Okay, all right. Charles King, is Nick harder to deal with after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl or after they lost the Super Bowl or were not knocked out of the playoffs? Where am I harder to deal with? If the Chiefs season ends in tragedy as it did the last couple years prior to this year or after they won the Super Bowl?
I don't know. You were really bad when they lost.
Yeah.
Like, I think you were like in depression for like 6 weeks straight. It was pretty bad. Like, it was like, I don't even want to talk about it. And then when you come out and tell me, it's like, yeah, I understand why you didn't want to talk about it. That's stupid.
I was so upset.
You were really upset.
I was so upset.
Yeah.
And Danielle finally came to me. She's like, "What is going on with you?" And I was like, "I know you're going to think it's stupid." And she was, this was like weeks later, she was like, is this about the Chiefs? And I'm like, you understand. Yeah, that was not great.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Who's Danielle's favorite NBA player?
Who's my favorite NBA player right now? I kind of like flip it up. I guess my all-around favorite was Chris Paul.
Chris Paul for a long time.
Yeah, CP. He's
she likes guy. Durant a lot.
I love Durant. When Durant and Russ played together, like, that was my favorite duel. I love them together.
Do you want to tell? Because we were staying at the same hotel as Durant in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
You really want to tell them this? This is so unbelievable.
So Durant gets out of his car.
So I had already seen, days before, I had seen Durant in the lobby, said hello to him. He obviously, he and I have an odd, I don't even know if you can call it relationship, dynamic, but we said hello, shook hands, that was that. Uh-huh. Danielle wasn't with me then. A couple days later, I'm not with her, go ahead.
Yeah, and he pulls up and he gets out of the car and I say to my friend, I was like, oh my God, it's Kevin Durant. And I was like, oh, KD, I'm a big fan of yours. And I was like, I didn't even know what to say. I was just like, I'm a big fan of yours. You know, why did you leave the Nets? And he's like, oh, what did he say? He said,
you're a Nets fan. Like,
oh, he said, you're a Nets fan. I said, yeah, actually, I have season tickets. I'm going to miss you there. He said, oh, what's your name? I was like, why did you leave? I was scared to tell him who I was.
She because she talked Nick. To KD, had a whole nice interaction with him, and at no point was like, you know my husband. The whole thing.
No, I'm not going to tell him I'm Nick Wright's wife at the time. You know, maybe if I saw him again, maybe, but I was in shock.
Danielle, do you like the tracksuits Nick wears? Be honest.
I like most of them. I wish he would retire some of them earlier, but otherwise, yeah, I like the tracksuits. It's his thing. When Nick and I first got together, he would wear tracksuits and there were two sizes too big for him. So I'll take the ones that he wears now.
By the way, the previous questions, I don't know if I've said it. Rex Smith, Jamie Fisher, Charles King, I Trust Me, and Brett DeFore are the ones who asked. Hosk asks, have you had any awkward interactions with any of your customers at Trintage because of Nick?
Not awkward. I do get men that come in here actually looking for Nick, like he works here. But I love those encounters because they come in here and they buy something for somebody or, you know, it works out great. I don't think that's weird. I think I'm used to that by now.
Liam Patton asks, what's something interesting about Nick that not a lot of people know?
I don't know what to say. I don't know. I don't want to embarrass him on anything.
Go ahead.
Can I tell him about the little hair thing you do?
Sure. I'm sure they've seen it. Go ahead.
You see how Nick always like twists his hair, he literally like pulls it out, like that's why he has like all these patches on his beard, because he like yanks his hair out of his face and everywhere else on his body. I think it's so weird. It's just, I don't know. Okay. You're doing, I guess that was what made me think about it, because you're literally doing it at right now.
All right, last one. Ryan Fitzgerald, Danielle, should Demonte keep showing us so much leg on camera?
No. No, he should not. All right. Demonze, he's always been a shorts guy. You can't stop it.
Can't stop it. It is who he is. Dampu, you crushed. Great job. Well done.
Thank you.
Do it again Thursday?
We'll see. I didn't get paid last time, and I didn't get paid this time, so we'll see.
Okay. All right. That's it. What's Right, episode 136. See you guys Thursday. See you on TV today. Title Pie today, latest edition on First Things First. See you guys there. What's Right?